Well, it's good to be with you this morning, and appreciated the words that Brother John just shared, thinking about the race of life. What I want to be talking about this morning, we don't want to call this a sermon. I think I would call it more of just some personal musings of some things that I've been thinking about over the past number of years. So I'm not going to call it a sermon, if that's okay. But I want to ask you a question to think about throughout this talk. Well, I'll hold on to that question. I'll ask that here in a few minutes. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 24. I want to read some verses here. Jesus speaking, Matthew 24, beginning at verse 36 and following. And Jesus is talking here about the return of the Son of Man. And we're not focusing on that this morning, but what I want to pull a couple things out of here for us to think about. Beginning at verse 36, Matthew chapter 24, and I'm reading in the New King James. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken, the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. We don't know when Jesus is coming again. None of us do. But what we do know, according to what Jesus is telling us here in these verses, is that normal life will be happening when Jesus does come. Life will be going on in some kind of normalcy, just like the days of Noah before the flood. People were getting married. People were eating and drinking. And then the flood came and took them away, and they weren't expecting that. They weren't ready for that. And Jesus said that's how the return of the Son of Man will be. Life will be going on as normal. Men in the fields, women going to grind their flour. Life is happening, and then in a moment, Jesus is returned. He's come back when we're not expecting it to happen. Jesus said, if we knew that the thief was coming tonight, wouldn't we do something about that and be prepared? The question I want us to think about is, if we knew, would anything change? Would we do anything different in our lives if we knew? Isaiah 56 verse 12 says, come ye, say they, I will fetch wine and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day and much more abundant. So there was a mindset there that these people had. They thought that tomorrow will be just like today. And even more so like today, if that's possible. I don't know how that would be, but life goes on and life seems consistent, and we sort of fall into this thing of feeling like tomorrow will be just like today. James 4, 13 through 15 says, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that." Do you find it that way, that life can, after a while, just feel like there's a routine and it's mundane and it just goes on the same day after day after day? And we make plans for the future, and we look forward to our children growing up and going to their weddings, and we look forward to having grandchildren, and we expect to get old with our spouses. Isn't that how it normally goes? When life is normal, it's easy to think that it will continue to be normal. And we can get complacent and even sloppy with how we live our lives and how we relate to the people around us in our lives. And then when we least expect it, something happens and life has changed. Accident, and the daughter doesn't come home. And that happened just a few years ago to some people. About last year, I didn't know them personally, but some people in our church knew them personally, and a young daughter was at work, didn't get home when they expected, and the dad went out looking, and there was this bad car accident, and she was gone. Completely unplanned for. We don't plan for things like that to happen. And life changes. I think of Gerald and Elisa on a camping trip. We don't plan for things like that. I was talking to Gerald last summer. It was on the 1 year anniversary. And he told me that he just often would think about the last moments that he had. What did they talk about? How were things? Life is going on like normal, and then you hear the word cancer. And suddenly life looks different. It doesn't seem certain anymore. I was talking to a mason that does work for us just a couple days ago. His father had cancer for many years. He had been doing better and then worse again. And then he died just not too long ago, and died of a gunshot wound. They thought maybe it was suicide, but they weren't sure because of some of the way it looked. But talking with Mark about his dad, he says he thinks about it every day, about his dad, and was he ready? Where is he? My intention this morning is not to be morbid. It's not to be depressing. It's not to make us fearful or anything like that. But what I want to do, what I would like us to think about, is that life is short. Life is uncertain, both our own lives and the lives of the people around us. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. And again, I want to ask that question: if you knew blank, would you do anything differently? Because when suddenly your loved one is gone and you think about how things were, I think oftentimes people struggle with maybe there was something that should have been done differently, and now it's too late. This is a question you've probably thought about and have been asked to think about. But if you knew you had only 6 months to live, what would anything change in your life? Would you change anything, or would you continue just the routine of life as normal? If you knew your spouse was going to be gone in 1 year. We live in a world of fragile geopolitics and the possibility of some larger happening is very real. What if we knew that something big was going to happen 3 months from now? Would we do anything differently? If you knew that your son wasn't going to make it home from work next week. And I think about that fairly often, actually. My boys go off to the job site, and I know they're setting trusses or they're working up way up in the, on second floor. And I don't think I'm a fearful person, but I think about that. What if something happened to one of my boys and they didn't come home? What if you knew that in 2 weeks there would be a funeral here at Bethel and one of the brothers here was gone? You know, I'm thankful that God doesn't allow us to know the things that are coming. I don't think we could handle that very well if we knew those things. So I'm thankful for that. But we don't know who's next. We don't know when our time is. John was talking about the race. We're all running that race, but we don't know where the end is for us in this life. Or where the end is for my brother or my spouse or my neighbor. There's some words here I would like to read, written by a young man who was dying of cancer. His name was Elliot Dallin. He had a terminal cancer, and his time was very short, and he knew that, and he had wrestled with that and come to some kind of peace about it. He was not a believer, I don't think, and yet he accepted the shortness of his life. And he wrote these words: "Knowing that my life was going to be cut short has also changed my perspective on aging. Most people assume they will live into old age. I have come to see growing old as a privilege. Nobody should lament getting 1 year older, another gray hair, or a wrinkle. Instead, be pleased that you've made it. If you feel like you haven't made the most of your last year, try using your next one better." If we knew, would we do anything different? About a year and a half ago, Cheryl and I were in the hospital in the emergency room, and we were fearful that something was majorly wrong. She had some serious pain, and her doctor said, "Go to the emergency room." And so we were there. They had done some scans, and we were in our room, and we had drifted off to sleep because we were exhausted. In the middle of the night, the doctor walked in the room, turned on the light, and we wake up out of our sleep, and he says, "It looks like it's cancer." Not a happy place to be. And that was probably the darkest night of our lives. And the very real possibility that my wife would be her life might be cut short was trying to sink into my weary brain. See, just a few months before this, we had a friend or an acquaintance from Bible school that had died from cancer. And it was the same, not the same type of cancer, but it had the same name. And that was fresh in our minds. And so the future, as I lay there after that news, just looked really dark and bleak and scary. And my mind went back to the years that we had together. Happy years. I thought about all the mistakes I'd made as a husband, which were many. I thought about the plans that we had for the future, the dreams that may never happen. I thought about all the things that I had put so much energy into and so much time into. Some of them were good, some of them were necessary, and some of them were probably not that important. And we cried together. And if you ever find yourself in a moment like that, suddenly life looks different than it does when life is just going along every day the same as the day before in that normalcy. When you're faced with the very real possibility of either yourself or someone very close to you stepping over into eternity out of this life, suddenly things look different. And it's like the glasses come off and we see things with a clarity that you... The things that are important are clear. And the things that really don't matter are also very clear. It was probably the best thing that ever happened to us, actually. There was four things that came pretty clear in our minds that were very important. And I would like to talk about them this morning. You know, running a business, building a business, really didn't have any, I wasn't really worried about that. Or all those things, those types of things, just suddenly melted away and there just didn't feel like there was much value there. What is the purpose of our lives? Why are we here? And when we're gone, what's going to really matter? You know, they say in business it's important to have a purpose, and there is. If you don't have a purpose in a business, you're going to tend to wander and probably be involved in things that really aren't that helpful. What is our life purpose all about? Four things. When I'm thinking about my mortality or the mortality of someone that I know, first of all, is the importance of relationship with God, relationship with Jesus, because at the end of the race, we step into eternity, and there's a meeting that's going to happen in that moment. Cheryl and I thought that we were looking at that pretty serious for her. Recently in family devotions, we were talking about what it's going to be like when we are come before God after we pass away from this life and we stand before the judgment seat. And we all know about that. What's it going to be like? Have you ever stopped to consider what that moment might really be like? Revelation talks about the great white throne and him that sat on it and the dead and the small and great standing before God, and there's some books that are mentioned. There's a book of life, and there's the book of records, it seems, where the records of our life have been kept. What's it going to be like when we stand before God? Will he pull that book off the shelf, or maybe it's open in front of him, and it's my turn? And so he's paging through the book of life. Is it in alphabetical order? And he's looking for my name. And in that moment, the only thing that matters is that my name is there. If my name's not written there, there's another book that has all those records of my life. And he will open that book, and we will be judged by what he sees there, and it would not be pretty. If our name is in the book of life, then the records have been expunged of all those sinful deeds that would separate us from God. Hallelujah, if your name is in the book of life. When we're faced with mortality, that matters more than anything else. Both for ourselves, for our loved ones, and for our neighbors, and for all people. If you knew that, would anything change? Is your name written there? Is your personal relationship with Christ, is it vital? Is it real? Is it thriving? Are you living a life of loving obedience to Him? But it's so easy to settle into the routine of life and just sort of expect it to go on and on and on. And we tend to forget that what really matters. The second thing that is at the top of our list of importance is our relationship with those that God has put in our homes. My relationship with my wife, or with your spouse, and with your family. When we think about them, one of them suddenly being gone, or me suddenly being gone, we think about that. What are things like at home? How's my relationship with my wife? How is your relationship with your spouse? Have I been investing in our relationship in meaningful ways? Are we as close as we've ever been? Have I stayed true to my promises to her? Have I built her up? Have I been a blessing to her in her life? And if death would part us, would I have regrets? How about the relationship with children? Do your children know that you care about them, that you love them? Have you told them that? Have you showed them that? Have you spent the time that's needed to build relationships with them? Do they have your hearts? Do you have their heart? Do they have yours? Have I taken the time that's needed for instructing them and teaching them the word and in righteousness, demonstrating spiritual truths and principles both through teaching and through example in my own life? Have I taken time to lead them to worship and to know God? Have I made mistakes? Absolutely, I've made mistakes. I expect all of you have made mistakes with you parents. I think I know you all well enough to know that you have. Actually, I don't know you all that well. Some of y'all might be perfect, but I don't think so. I've made mistakes. Have I made those mistakes? Have I gone back and corrected those failures? Are there apologies that need to be made? Is there forgiveness that needs to be extended? Are there walls that need to come down? If my son didn't come home from work next week, would I wish to go back and change some things? So how are things at home? How are things in your marriage? When we face death, we think about those things more seriously. If you knew, would you change anything? The third category of important things to consider is, what about the church? As Cheryl and I talked about what matters most in life, we kept thinking about our church. And we love our church, the people that God has brought together there in Wills Ridge. And the brotherhood matters. How is my relationship within the brotherhood? Have I allowed walls to grow between me and a brother or sister? Are there offenses that I should work on? Apologies that I need to make? Forgiveness that I need to extend? Are there struggling ones that need encouragement? As I consider my relationship with the church, do I love her and care for her as the body of Christ? Am I fully a part and engaged and pulling with her? Am I a builder and encourager? Am I devoted to her well-being? When I think about life being cut short and I think about the importance of Christ's bride, I was energized and thinking that, you know, this really matters. We're going to be standing before Christ, and I think it's going to matter what I think about his bride and how I've been involved in with his bride and how I've cared for her. So we don't know who will be called home next. We don't know which of you here at Bethel will be next. Somebody will. And we don't want to have things undone and things that aren't taken care of. Am I faithfully so doing, as Jesus said to the faithful servant? Faithful in building up, faithful in one anothering, faithful in planting and tending and harvesting, and in faithfully giving loving correction, defending the purity of the body, first of all by my own life, and in the lives of my brothers and sisters. In light of eternity, church matters. And number four is community. If we know that, if you knew you were going to be gone in a month, are there people that you know personally that you feel that you would want to go and talk to and make things right with, talk to them about their spiritual lives? I think we need to think about that and turn that around. If you have a neighbor that you know is could possibly be crossing over, is there something that should be done as well? I have a neighbor just down the road from us that I don't know real well, a casual acquaintance that has terminal cancer, and he's going downhill fast. And he knows his time is coming to an end. And I need to talk to him because he's not ready. So what really matters in life? Is it our businesses? Is it our homes? Is it the things that we acquire? Those things don't matter a whole lot. They are important things in life. I'm not going to say they're not, but they're utilitarian for greater purposes. And what really matters in life is our relationship with people. It's people's souls that matter above all else. Are we investing in relationships with people so that they can be prepared for eternity? When our perspective is clear, suddenly everything we do in life matters. How we live and act at home and in town and at work. The people around us are watching us. And do we care about them? Do we care about giving off the scent or the essence of Jesus to all those people? Do I care about my customer's soul or just the fact that they can write the check? Do I care about my neighbor's soul, or do I just care that they keep their cows in? What about your mechanic's soul? Or just that he can fix my car as cheaply as possible? If I knew, would I do anything different with my neighbors and in my community? As we think about the unrest in the world and the uncertainty of life and our own mortality and the mortality of our loved ones and our fellow men, I think it's important for us to consider what really matters. It's not our experiences or our vacations and all those things. It's people. It's relationships. And most of all, it's having our own relationship where it needs to be with Christ. Those are the only things that really matter when we step over into eternity. All the rest is left behind. It's only people that matter. And we woke up this morning. I was talking to a guy I used to do some gas work for us. I called him the other evening. He's a wide open man, has a lot of energy, and has a lot to say. And his name is Wally. And he answered the phone. I said, "Wally, how are you?" And he said, "I'm still part of the horizon." "What do you mean by that?" He said, "Well, I'm not." I can't remember how he said. "The groundhogs aren't bringing in the mail," or something like that. In other words, he's still above the grave, is what he was saying. And he was excited about life because he still had life. So this morning, we all got out of bed. We all came here. And we have opportunities. As long as we're on this side, we have opportunities to impact people's lives, to prepare ourselves, to take care of relationships, to heal things that are broken, to build up, because we don't know when one of us is going to be gone. "Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes." Jesus is talking about his servant that is doing what he's called to do when he comes, and that servant will be blessed. That's what matters when we're faced with crossing over. Let's have a song.